doing. You end up lost in the thoughts, going around and around and again, trying to think through what happened with that person. But you've done this 1,000 times and it hasn't solved the problem. And if you're not aware of that, you could continue for the rest of your life trying to replay old stories of your mind to sort them out, to logically think through them again and again to solve these things. And to be honest, many of them really can't just be solved like that. Because the thing happened 30 years ago. How are you going to solve it in your mind? Actually, it's only happening in your mind. Even that thing, actually, you can bypass forgiveness. If you really are wise enough to realize that that's already dead and gone, you can quantum leap straight past forgiveness and almost get to enlightenment. But there's not too many people who do that. We're still stuck in our ego, we're stuck in ourselves, we're stuck in our thoughts about who we were, and then we're trying to solve things from the past. So this forgiveness practice is to help you to facilitate how to see these thoughts objectively and not getting subjectively involved in them again and trying to work them out, even reasonably or logically. So the questioning is quite succinct and quite straightforward. The next question that comes up is, why did I harm this person? Again, there's four multiple choice answers. I like multiple choice. I was happy at school when they brought in multiple choice. It was like I didn't have to think too much. It's like, got to be one of these. Anyway, was it because I was greedy? Or selfish? I like the word selfish. It's rather normal for a human mind to be selfish. Was I greedy or was I selfish? Was I angry or was I confused? Those of you Buddhists who would know from the Pali words, lobha, dosa, moha, greed, hatred and delusion, just three common mental states that we all experience. And of course, the fourth one is all of the above. So when I was with that person and I was arguing or whatever, I harmed that person, was I being selfish? Was it all about me and I didn't care about them? Or was I just angry and just said whatever I wanted to say, again, not caring about them? Or was I just confused? And quite often confusion will also cause the greediness and the anger. Or maybe it was just all of these things all mixed up together and you're not even sure what kind of mental state you have. Then the next question is, was I aware? When I harmed that person, was I aware that I was harming them? Now this is a really interesting question. It's an important question. Most of the time, we were not aware. And then, so the answer is a simple answer. It's a yes-no question. So usually the answer is no. Some rare occasions you may have harmed somebody with awareness because you had to. Maybe it was for their better or something like that. But again, that could be justification. And then the next question is, was I wise? Was I wise when I harmed this person? Usually you'll find the answer to be no. It's pretty rare that wisdom will harm anybody. Wisdom is not a harmful mental state. However, there may be some rare situations where you had to wisely harm somebody in order to save them. You know, like cut off his leg to save his life or something. But in the scheme of things, you were still doing a good thing. So, and wisdom was present. So, these questions, was I aware? Usually the answer is no. Was I wise? Probably not. Almost you could say definitely not. Then the next question is, am I sorry? Am I sorry that I harmed this person? Now, if you are not sorry that you harmed this person, then there's no point in trying to do forgiveness for them, with them. So scrap that person, go back to the first question, who did I harm? Because there's no point continuing, because you can't, you're not going to forgive yourself. Start with a new person. Ask, start again, who did I harm? Let somebody else pop up on the screen of your mind, and then go back through these points. However, if you do feel that you are sorry that you harmed that person, then you answer to yourself, yes, I'm sorry. And then the next bit is a little bit of a contemplation, and that is, well, that's how I was in the past. It's not how I want to be now, and it's not how I want to be in the future. I'm changing. I'm growing, I'm learning, I'm understanding myself now. That's how I used to be. It's not how I am now and not how I want to be in the future. So this is a contemplation of past, present and future. And then you may realize that you are ready to forgive yourself. You might even say to yourself, I forgive myself. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. These are words that we don't normally speak to ourselves. We've not been taught to say them. And it's not usually something that somebody would just think about by themselves, that they forgive themselves without having been taught to do it. I can't remember myself ever having that thought in my life prior to understanding Buddhism, meditation, and my own mind. So to say these words, I forgive myself. And to listen to the words, to allow them to echo through the corridors of your mind. Allow the meaning of the words to soak in to your mind. Allow yourself to absorb this meaning. Listen to yourself. Do you believe yourself? Do you accept these words? Is it possible that you can forgive yourself? I forgive myself. You can say it as many times as you like. You can even turn it into a little mantra if you want to. You can say it 10 times, 50 times, 100 times. You could do your little Buddhist mala mantra 108 times on your beads if you want to. I forgive myself, I forgive myself. Not just merely repeating words, but listening to the meaning. I forgive myself. Am I allowed to do that? Or is it dependent upon others? Should it only be others who forgive me? Can I forgive myself? If I can't forgive myself, then is my forgiveness and my freedom only dependent upon other people forgiving me? That sounds a bit like prison. Can I forgive myself? So this is a nice little exercise, especially if you've never done it before, to just sit with those words, I forgive myself. If you can forgive yourself, you'll feel it. You'll know what it feels like. I don't want to explain it to you. I'd like you to find it for yourself. One thing I can say, though, is it's very beautiful if you're able to do that. And then, just to finish off, is we can say the words, may he or she, you can use their name if you like, be free from suffering. May he be free from suffering. May she be free from suffering. may they be free from suffering. So it's a little bit of compassion, just to soften out the mind, maybe help to patch up the relationship again. And then you can start again. The first step of forgiveness can be practiced many times, and it can be practiced again and again and again and again. In fact, I recommend people to stay only with the first step as long as you can, as long as you feel it's serving you. And for some people, it means a really long time, depending on how intensively you practice it, or, I guess that same thing. That is, how often you practice it. If it was a daily practice, or and it was coming up several times in a day, then it may not take too long at all. But if you're only doing it every now and again, it may take a long time. Or depending on your karma, depending on your ability to understand what true forgiveness really means, then some people can do this several times and realize that there are some actual little keys to the mind that are in this practice. Once you open up a few of these doors in the mind, you can actually, if you forgive yourself for harming even one person in a particular way, and then you suddenly realize, I harmed many people in the same way, what you're doing is you're forgiving yourself for the action of harming all those people, then it's as if you've forgiven yourself for harming all those people. So you don't have to go through individually one by one. You've forgiven yourself for the actual, the mental state or the way that you harmed this person or this person and then these people. And this transforms your character. And if you do this very well, then the way you harmed all of those people in your life, from now on, it's very likely that you won't cause that harm anymore, because you've woken up to it. You've realized how you're causing harm to people. And this is the purpose of forgiveness. It's to free your mind, not only in the present, but free your mind from repeating the same mistakes in the future. And this is a really important point. And this is what we can call freedom. And it's a really beautiful example of how karma unfolds. And if I learn something now, and I realize how harmful I've been in the past, and I see that harm within myself, I'm allowed to firstly accept it, be honest with myself, realize, yes, I have done that, realize that that is not what I want now, and it's not what I want for the rest of my path, the rest of my life or my spiritual journey, then the mind relinquishes it. This is wisdom. When it relinquishes it, the mind feels free. It feels more open, more relaxed. And then when you're in that situation in the future, in the same situation where you harmed that person and all those people, you find yourself in the same situation, your wisdom arises and goes, you remember the forgiveness that you did? You remember how you had to do that and work through that? Actually, I guess I call myself a bit lazy. I don't think I'm really lazy, but it seems like laziness. I want to do forgiveness now because I'm too lazy to do forgiveness in the future. So I want to stop causing the suffering now so that I don't have to do forgiveness again in the future. So that's also how it works. And this is how karma works. This is how good karma works, especially. We can see how bad karma works, and that is if you're unaware of your past, unaware of your speech, actions, and thoughts in the past that cause suffering, then without that awareness, you will continue to repeat those cycles. And it will go on and on until you do become aware of it and you do wake up. And the waking up is the wisdom and realizing, man, I'm just harming myself and I'm harming others. And There's nobody else can stop this. Nobody else can do anything about this. Oh, they could say they're sorry, or, you know, we could talk about it or something, but that's not it. It's when you realize through your own experience, that is not what I want to do. I don't want to continue to live in this suffering, creating more suffering, feeling guilty from what I've done, feeling bad, etc. Only I can set myself free from this. So it's a nice realization, nice experience. So then, as I said, we come back and back to the first step. So I'll just go through those points again, just in case anyone was writing them down, or just to get a little bit more of a flow through the sequence. The first question is, who did I harm? Let somebody pop up in your mind. Then ask the simple questions. How did I harm this person? Was it speech, action, thought, or all of these? Why did I harm them? Was I selfish or greedy? Was I angry? Or was I confused? Or maybe all of these? Was I aware when I harmed this person? Usually not. Was I wise when I harmed them? Pretty much definitely not. Am I sorry? Yeah, I'm sorry. That's how I was in the past. It's not how I am now. I'm changing, or I want to change. I'm working on myself. This is why I'm doing forgiveness. I'm learning about myself. And it's not how I want to be in the future. So I forgive myself. Really, what this means is I'm forgiving myself as I was at that time. If you like, you can include the present moment. I forgive myself as I am now. But what it really means, I'm forgiving the person I was at that time, or how I was at that time. I forgive myself. And say that as many times as you like. Let it soak into your mind. Understand the meaning of these words. And see how it feels. Check it. Use your mindfulness to monitor the feeling of those words. I forgive myself. How does it feel? And you may have to do this forgiveness practice with that same person several times. I don't know how many times you may have to do it, but every time you do it, you get a little bit more clear, you become a little bit closer to the truth, and it's a little bit easier to let go of. Some situations, you do it once, and you feel light, you feel free, and it's like, oh, so nice. Other times you feel, wow, I'm probably going to come back to this person. Come back and do this forgiveness again with this person. And then, after you say, I forgive myself, then say, may he be free from suffering. May she be free from suffering. And you can do it again. Start again. Who did I harm? Any person, any other person. For some of us who've lived a somewhat wild life, or maybe a rough life, hard life, complicated life. Unfortunately, we've harmed a lot of people along the way. And sometimes when you start forgiveness, it's a bit daunting when you look back into your past and go, oh, my Buddha, there's a few thousand people in this queue waiting for me to forgive them, or for me to forgive myself for harming these people. But don't be put off by that. Just come back to doing one person at a time. And as I said, it's a little bit of an illusion when you look back into your past like that. You may see that there are so many people, but you may also realize that the way that you harmed one person was actually the way you harm many people. And if you're forgiving yourself for harming in that way, you're forgiving the way, the mental state, the cause, the root cause for the suffering, not person by person and situation by situation. So sometimes you can blow away a lot of internal suffering and internal attachment to past situations just by dealing with one person or a few people. So don't be put off by the fact that there are many people in your past that you may feel you need to forgive. So that's the first step of forgiveness. It's, of course, to be able to contact that person, the best way for you to really clear that up would actually be to meet the person, to see them face to face, which needs to take, you need to be a little bit discreet about this, because depending on the person, if they happen to have a shotgun or something, or if they're particularly violent, or probably, as you may know, they may be still angry, then it's best not to confront them out of the blue and go, "Hi, remember me 20 years ago? I hurt you." They may not be receptive. So you need to be a little subtle about it, a little sensitive. But if you can, and you feel it's appropriate, you can contact the person, you could send an email, you could maybe find them on Facebook, you could message them, text them, call them, or if appropriate, you could meet with the person. And you need to be subtle about it, you need to be gentle about it. But something simple like, I'm working on myself and I realize that when I was with you or when we worked together or whatever it was, I realized that I was greedy or I was angry, I was confused, and it was a difficult time for me, perhaps. And I realized that I harmed you, and I would like to ask for your forgiveness. So you can do this with even with your current partner. It doesn't have to be someone who's disappeared into the mist of your, I was going to say the mist of your history, the mist of your past. It could be someone who's still in your life. For example, I still do it with my mum. I've done it several times, and every now and again I just reiterate it, I just say it again. Because I was a bit of a reckless kid and didn't care too much for authority and always wanted to do what I wanted to do. And directly or indirectly harmed my mum. Unfortunately, my dad's not around, so I have to do forgiveness with regard to my father more through prayer or through some determination or intention, and which answers the question, if the person is no longer in your life, especially if they've passed away, how do you do forgiveness? Then you can do it by prayer. You can do it through a spiritual teacher, if you like, or even in a spiritual place. Could be in a church or wherever you may have had whatever sort of medium that person lived by, or it could be in a favorite place that you shared with that person, or it could be just thinking about that person and basically saying, wherever you are, wherever you've been reborn, whatever life you're in, I realize I harmed you, please forgive me. And We don't know exactly if, you know, how the universe delivers such mail or messages, but you can try, and it's certainly your own intention that is the most important thing here. You can't be sure that that person receives your asking for forgiveness, but if you yourself, in your own mind, have forgiven yourself and you are directing it towards that person, then this is also a breaking down of your ego. It's practicing humility, and which is a wonderful and beautiful thing for your life and your, especially your spiritual practice. So, you can practice it like that by through prayer, through sending out that positive asking for forgiveness. If it's a person who's still alive, then you can contact them and ask them, obviously being sensitive and careful about that. Or if you don't want to contact them or you feel it's not appropriate, the most important thing is that you forgive yourself. And that's what the bottom line comes down to. It's about you setting your mind free. If you ask someone for forgiveness and they said, no, you're an idiot, you're stupid, I hate you, you know, get out of here, or, you know, they start abusing you or something, and they say, no, I will never forgive you, I hate you, then you have to realize, we have to realize, that this is not our karma. Okay, it's our karma that this person's saying this thing, but they have their own karma. And if they're not ready to forgive, it actually has nothing to do with you. The most important thing is that you are able to forgive yourself. And this is an amazing lesson in life. And that's why I ask the question, do you believe you can forgive yourself? Are you allowed to forgive yourself? Do you understand what self-forgiveness really means? Is it possible? Is it true? Does it really happen? Otherwise, if it's not true, then it means that forgiveness is always dependent upon somebody else. And how can we live our life dependent upon somebody else forgiving us? And this is a tricky situation where in this human world, and I sort of say that as opposed to the karma, karmic law, or the law of karma, which only operates by cause and effect, it's an impersonal process, as opposed to our human world, which works on personal process and works on punishment and reward. This is how human beings operate. Karma is always operating anyway, but as humans, we work on punishment and reward. And somebody could do something wrong and be put in prison. A man or a woman, anybody, could create or harm somebody, perhaps even murder, and then be put in prison. But they could immediately wake up, realize what they've done wrong, forgive themselves, and actually be totally purified in their mind. It's happened all throughout history where people have been put into prison and they've become angels. Even those that have been on death row, in fact, many of them that have been sentenced to death row, somebody wants to come in, I think, I'm not sure. Yeah. Some of these people who have been sentenced to death row, they even have a date, the date that they're going to die. There's not many human beings who know exactly the date that they're going to die. And they have accepted it, fully accepted it, and they've gone beyond. It's like they died before they die. And you've heard about this in meditation. It's a common term that people will say, you have to die before you die, you have to die in meditation, which is the relinquishing of the ego. And this can be done, even in prison. when somebody who realizes what they've done wrong and they can actually forgive themselves. It's weird, but they don't need to be in prison anymore. I saw some documentary recently, and there was this beautiful, beautiful man. He's out of prison now, but he is teaching. Actually, he wasn't a Buddhist, but he was the almost everything that he said was Buddhist. And he was some American, African-American guy. And the words he spoke were so beautiful. And he spent so many years in jail, like 20, 25 years in jail. He finally got released, and he's just the most beautiful man. Looks like a half a house, and you know, with graffiti on it, you know, he's got tattoos and everything, but just you can see by his look how he would have been, you know, 25 years ago, and you hear the words and the smile and the way he talks now. It's you know, he could be just sitting here talking to you guys. It's just beautiful love in his expression and everything, complete transformation. We could say, oh, that was the prison system that did that, but I don't think the prison system really teaches people to do that. It's your own karma, and this is your own ability to forgive yourself and to set your own mind free, and we all have this ability. So this is a nice beginning to our forgiveness practice, to forgive ourselves for harming others. Do you have any questions about this first step of forgiveness? Anything pop up in your mind while I was talking? Yeah.
Is that kind of like Jesus is the way that you teach about redemption, forgiveness, how it transforms people through living Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think what we can do, if Christians and people of other faiths realize that Christ nature or God nature or whatever nature that is, it's within them. When they connect with that, see, people ask Jesus for redemption, or they go to the church, and they, or in Catholicism, they go to the Catholic priest and do confession with the Catholic priest, as if the Catholic priest is saying, yes, you know, you're a good boy now, you can go off and do what you like. Is the power in somebody else, or is the power only within you? And any Catholic will tell you, it doesn't matter how many times you go and ask for forgiveness from the priest, if you can't cheat yourself, you can't trick yourself. Oh, okay, the priest said I'm okay, so I'm good to go for another week until next Sunday when I have to go back, so I can do all these things wrong this week. But even a silly person wouldn't really believe that. They might believe it, but perhaps not for too long. So we realize that it's the Christ within us, the Jesus, the God, the whatever being or whatever power that we understand is within us, or sometimes we think it's external from us, which it is also, but it's also within us. That power is also part of your own power. You are connected to that power, and you can forgive yourself. So this is what I believe, how it fits in perfectly with all religions. And all religions teach forgiveness. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else?
Often, yeah, like in a relationship, we'll have both parties hurting each other. So how do you tie in to where you hurt them and they hurt you?
Yeah, yeah. It will come up a little bit later in the second and third sections, but it's actually dependent upon your partner or the other person also practicing forgiveness. So you can do it on your side, and this is the question that many people do ask, is that, okay, I forgive them for harming me. This is the third step, actually, and I don't like jumping to the third step, but people still ask this question. If I forgive somebody for harming me, won't they just continue to do it? And then there needs to be some way of educating that person that they are becoming, so that they become self-aware and they realize that perhaps they're even harming themselves by harming me, etc. So we'll work that out a little bit later on in the next segment. But at this point, even if somebody has harmed you 100 times and you only harmed them once, it's that one occasion that you are forgiving yourself for harming them. So you're putting aside all the justification, all the stories about how they harmed you and what they did wrong. It's not about them. And this is where I use the word objective. And it comes back to, what did I do? I know that's subjective towards me, but objective with regard to the story. We're not getting sucked back in and justifying, well, she said that and he was wrong and whatever. It's just, what did I do wrong? And how did I do it? And how do I feel about it? Am I sorry about it? And sometimes you're not. Okay, drop it. See, go on to another person. But if you feel sorry about it, then this is your feeling and this is what you're working with. So, It's very different to work from that perspective. But it's always good if you have a partner that's willing to work with you on these things, and when you're developing forgiveness in yourself, that they also feel that they would like to develop forgiveness in themselves. And if you can both do it, that is really, really amazing. It's very powerful. It's also very difficult. It's very difficult to, especially if you've been with someone for maybe 20, 30, whatever years, and you've had all these arguments and, you know, you've brought kids up and been through all these things, that we're carrying all this past stuff with us. It's really hard to just look them in the eye, you know, perfectly honestly, and ask for forgiveness, and for them to ask for forgiveness from you, and for you to be able to forgive yourself at the same time. And then to be able to work with that. And this is where I said that it starts to come up on a daily basis. Especially if you are with a person who is really committed to them, to themselves becoming a better person. And you yourself are committed to becoming a better person. And so you want to become a better couple together for the sake of your own sanity, for the sake of the vows that you took 20, 30 years ago, etc. And so that you can live together in harmony. It's difficult, but it's extremely powerful. Yeah. And this is how we learn to bless ourselves. Quite often in religion, even in Buddhism, you'll find people coming to be blessed by monks and by others, etc. And in the Buddha's teachings, in the especially in the Theravada Buddhist teachings, there's a teaching called the Mangala Sutta. The Mangala Sutta is the teaching of blessings. And right in that sutta, the Buddha points out all the ways that you can bless yourself. And it's really interesting that in Buddhism, in Theravada Buddhism, when people go for blessings from monks, this is one of the suttas that the monks will chant in order to bless the people. But in actual fact, if you understand the meaning of the words, what they're telling the people is how you're supposed to bless yourselves. And if you bless yourself, you don't need to go to a Buddhist monk to get a blessing. But we all are our own blessing. Blessings, I was going to say, don't come from outside. I think your blessings come from your ability to understand what so-called blessings may come from outside, but also you're understanding that you have the right and the ability to bless yourself. And this is what forgiveness is. I also call it a miracle. It is a little human miracle that very ordinary people can perform on themselves, by themselves. And it manifests into your relationships. So I'll leave you with that little miracle, and we'll have a little break for 5 or 10 minutes or something.
That's good. Do you want to do that? Thank you. And there's tea and coffee over here.